This is Nate and the Noise, brought to you by Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
Follow the guys on Twitter at Nate Lundy and at Estrotar.
What I'm about to do, it doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. It is a gut feeling.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Denver, here are your hosts, Sean Drotar and Nate Lundy.
Welcome to hour number two, Nate and Sean, SB Nation Radio from our home base at Mile High Sports in Denver. We appreciate you being here on a Tuesday. We obviously have to wait all the way until Saturday for us to get to the Final Four action, but it doesn't stop us from previewing it early this week. And to do it, one of the best, and he certainly knows it well, two-time NCAA champion, seven-time NBA All-Star, now an analyst on television. You have seen his analysis, heard him throughout the opening rounds of the NCAA tournament. On behalf of Allstate, very happy to welcome to the hotline and to the show, Grant Hill. Grant, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Excited about this upcoming Final Four.
Yeah,
be a good one.
We got a lot of fun to be able to talk about the Final Four. Let me ask you a couple of things that pop up, and I know you get asked about it a lot, but let's start here. We're on the 25th anniversary of that amazing play between you and Christian Laettner. Is it still exciting for you, or is it sort of like somebody who has had a long musical career and eventually gets tired of playing the same songs on stage over and over again? Where do you fall when it comes to that play and how many times you've talked about it?
Well, thankfully, I don't have to execute that play over and over and over again. I don't know if I could or we could, but no, nah, I mean, it's fun. It's something that I'm, first of all, blown away that 25 years later, we still talk about it. And it's still a significant moment, an iconic moment in the history of the tournament. And, you know, really get to relive it. You know, and obviously right now is a milestone, 25 years, but every year during the month of March, it's featured, it's talked about, it's showed on television, and, you know, it really kind of embodies the good and the bad, I guess, of the tournament. The greatness, the half-court shots, the celebration, the sadness, the disappointment, the rejection, all those emotions are really captured on that play, and so... they may not want to talk about it, you know, much longer in the future. So as long as they want to continue to reference it and speak on it, I certainly don't mind.
Grant, you've mentioned in the past that part of the reason that people talk about it was not just the game itself, but it felt to a certain extent like the end of an era, because nowadays you don't have a team that's senior laden at Duke, at a Kentucky, at a North Carolina, at these traditional power schools, because they're all moving on to the NBA earlier. How do you think that's impacted both college basketball and the NBA, both of which you're obviously very familiar with?
Well, it has changed. I mean, Christian Laettner, you know, four Final Fours, the all-time leading scorer in the Final Four. I know when I graduated, I think I might have played, I don't know the exact numbers, but it might have been like 125 games, and 121 of them were on national television. And so people knew a Laettner, knew a Hurley, knew the players, and really had a chance to love them, to hate them, but to understand and appreciate their talents. And now you have guys leaving early, and so you don't really form that bond or that connection or that relationship with them as a fan. I say that, you know, Duke just won in 2015, and they had a great team, and, you know, led by Jahlil Okafor and Justice Winslow and Tyus Jones, and they were just fantastic. I marvel at what they were able to do that year and in that tournament as freshmen. But they were only at Duke for 1 year. And, you know, will they be remembered 5, 10, 20 years ago, you know, from now, much like some of those teams from back in the early 90s and the 80s were? Only time will tell. But so it is different. It's different. Players are going into the NBA now younger. There's more of an emphasis now on player development, both on and off the court in the NBA, because these kids are so young. In the college game, you know, it's more of a revolving door. And now this Final Four is a little different. I think all four of these teams have veteran players, guys who juniors and seniors have been around for a while. I call it the experienced Final Four, you know, and so it's good, you know, and it just shows there's different ways and different paths to success And these teams are a bit of a throwback with how their rosters are made and how they play.
Grant Hill with us on the hotline on Twitter at RealGrantHill33. How much does it change being in these giant stadiums as opposed to being in an intimate basketball arena? Does it change how it feels for you as a shooter on the court? Does it change any of the feel for you and your teammates when you go from a 14,000-15,000 seat basketball arena to now being inside a football stadium?
You know, I mean, there's a change. Obviously, the backdrop is a little bit different than a normal gym. But you know, you get enough time to get there and get shots up. I think you get 2 days on the court, practice, and so you get familiar with your surroundings. And you know, and I played, and we won two championships. We played in football stadiums. You know, we played in the Hoosier Dome in 91 and 92. Right. We played in the Metrodome. And then actually in 91, every game we played on the way to the Final Four was in a big stadium. We played in the Pontiac Silverdome, in the Sweet 16, in the Elite Eight. And then we played in the Metrodome in the first round. So first weekend. You know, look, at the end of the day, once you get on the court, you're just playing ball. And whether you're playing in a football stadium, in a basketball arena, or playing at the park, it's basketball. And, you know, shooters, look, Chris Jenkins just hit an amazing shot last year to win a championship, and that was in a stadium. So I do think the atmosphere and the magnitude of it and just the largeness of the whole situation, you know, can be overwhelming, you know, when you come out and layup line and just it's a spectacle. But once the ball's thrown in the air and the game starts, you know, you're just out there competing and you get lost in the moment. You get lost in the game. And I imagine those players will as well this weekend.
Looking at the way this game went and when North Carolina, Luke May hits that final shot, reminiscent, of course, people think about it this time of the year of the one you saw. And you were right there, looking at it, basically. Christian Laettner, your teammate, actually went on Twitter and I congratulated Luke May on his shot and maybe rubbed Kentucky's nose in it a little bit. Am I to understand that the Duke-North Carolina rivalry can actually be put aside for a little bit to rub it into Kentucky?
Well, first of all, it was a funny tweet. Christian showing off his creative side, which I didn't know he had. and typical Christian having to stick it to Kentucky. But, you know, I am a little shocked that he, you know, I know he was being tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, Carolina's our big rival. And so I was a little bit surprised by Mr. Laettner, but no, it was all in fun. And I think it's pretty cool that, you know, Christian was able to sort of congratulate Luke and make that sort of Star Wars reference and also take a shot. At the Kentucky Big Blue Nation. So that's Christian. That's typical Christian. And, he had a chance to have a great moment that continues to live on 25 years later. And Luke May had his. And so it's, I guess it's an ACC thing. Who knows?
Grant, last one for you before we let you go. As you look at these four teams that are left, and I know that technically Oregon has been there before because of winning the first ever championship in 1939, but you're basically looking at one very seasoned team and three that are making, if not their first, certainly their first in a really long time, appearance in the Final Four coming up in Phoenix. How much of an edge does that give to North Carolina, or does it?
Well, as you said about Oregon, I mean, they were in the championship game, but it wasn't a Final Four like it is now.
Right.
And so you're right. I mean, you have a team, a program, a coach that has been there before, has been there last year. Williams has been there a number of times. They have that advantage, you know, no doubt. The other teams are great teams, and I think they're capable of winning, but it's different. It's different than any other regular season game, any other tournament game. That atmosphere, the magnitude of it, the routine. It's a different routine. There's different, you know, obligations that they have to meet during that week. So if you're not accustomed to it and you don't manage your time wisely, you know, you got to have time to prepare, to practice. You got to have time to recover. You got to give the kids time to enjoy themselves a little bit and enjoy their families. And so, you know, managing the schedule and managing all the responsibilities and all the hoopla surrounding it, you know, Roy Williams has done that, and you know, you have to give him the nod there. Now, with that said, once the game starts, it's adrenaline. You know, I don't care what you did prior. I don't care how tired you might be. You're on, you're in the Final Four. And I expect all these teams to go out and play great. And I'm hoping for some good games. I think there will be.
I do, too. I think we're going to get some great games coming up this weekend. Grant, we always appreciate the time. Great insight on the college game. And great work you're doing with Allstate. He's on Twitter at RealGrantHill33. Grant, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your time, too.